Brian Steele's going to read our passage for us, and then Tim's going to open up God's word for us. Thanks, Brian.
A reading from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you today, and thank you that in this difficult time, though we are spread out around Brighton, Hove and beyond, we are still able, through the use of technology, to meet together in your name. I pray that you would be with Tim as he preaches this morning, and that by your Spirit you would give him the power to touch each one of us with his words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brian, and thank you so much everyone who helps to put together these services. Welcome to part two in our series, The Church Without Walls. I really want to encourage you to have a Bible in front of you. If you've got one, just grab one. If you've got it near, if you need to see it on your phone, do that. It's going to be really helpful as we go through this passage. Today, we're going to be talking about how to discover security amidst the storms of life, how to trust God in difficult times, which is one of the most important issues, not just in this current crisis, but for all of life, because let's be honest, life has a ton of challenges that can come when you least expect them. We saw my parents last weekend, and they were telling us about a recent experience they had of a storm on their sailing boat. A few weeks ago, they were anchored in an inlet on the Isle of Wight. It's a beautiful, calm place called Newtown Creek. It was in the middle of the night when they were suddenly woken with a strange sensation of the boat moving quickly. They rushed up on deck to discover that the anchor had failed and that they were drifting really fast towards the shore, which, if you know anything about boats, is bad news. I mean, that can mean real trouble. Now, thankfully, they woke up and they actually managed to quickly start the engine and get out of that situation, though it then took them a really long time to get their anchor to hold again. Why did their anchor not hold? Well, the answer's simple. A storm had kind of come up in the night, really strong winds, much stronger than forecast. And this anchor that was kind of fine for the calm weather was suddenly shown to be completely inadequate in the storm. And we were talking about this, and we made the connection that actually one of the things that's happening at the moment in our society, and even to Christians, is that the storm of this current pandemic is revealing that our kind of our anchors, the things we trust in for security, money, jobs, education, health, even family, are completely inadequate. They're not nearly secure enough to hold us in the storm that we're in. You know, the Christians that Peter was writing to here were also in a storm. They were scattered across a vast region. They were experiencing real hardship, financial pressures, social pressures, loss of livelihoods. It's a really difficult season. And in the difficult seasons of life, if we don't have a kind of a strong anchor, we can get into real trouble. We can lose hope. We can be kind of tempted to withdraw, to despair, to doubt, to start to live in fear and kind of drift into danger. And yet Peter wants them to see that there is an anchor that can hold them no matter how big the storm gets. An anchor that means they can have a living hope. Living hope, verse 3, amidst the storm. He wants them to discover a deeper security, to see that the difficult seasons can actually be seasons of growth. You know, times when the church can shine brightest of all. And we believe that's true for us today, that this is a time for the church to shine and offer hope in a world that's quickly running out of it. You know, to shine in our schools and our universities and our workplaces, our neighborhoods. But the question is, how do we do that? Maybe you're watching right now and you don't feel secure. You don't feel like you're shining. Maybe fear seems all too real. And maybe life just feels like it's gone wrong. Is there something that can kind of transform our experience of those times and hold us safe? Well, Peter would say yes. And it's all to do with this little strange word, this thing called faith. Look with me at verse 5. Verse 5 says this: it is through faith that we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. There is a direct connection between faith and the shielding power of God. What is faith? What is this thing that is described elsewhere in the Bible as the shield of faith? Does faith that's weak, does that still count? Does that still work? You know, faith is so often misunderstood. So this morning I want us to explore what biblical faith is, how to have great faith, and how to experience security and safety in the storms. And it's just two things I want us to remember. And the first is this: remember your shield. You know, we've become much more familiar with the concept of shielding in these COVID times, the sign, which one of the COVID signs that came up. There's a huge difference, though, between the recent shielding of vulnerable people who were kind of asked to take responsibility to shield themselves, and the shielding that Peter describes here that God does. How is the church shielded in verse 5? Look at it. It's really important. It's not our faith that shields us. Look, it says we're shielded by God's power. We're talking here about what God does. So how is faith involved? Well, Jesus says some curious things about faith. He rebukes his disciples for not having it, but then says you only need like the tiniest, smallest, littlest amount, only the size of a mustard seed, to see amazing things happen. I mean, why? You know, sometimes people say to others in a storm, you just need more faith. And that can be so unhelpful, because the power of faith is not kind of in the amount you have, but in who you have it in. See, my parents didn't just need more faith in their existing anchor. They needed a bigger and better anchor. Peter doesn't say to this church, you just need to have more faith. No, he reminds the church where their faith is placed. It is, look, verse 3, in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, strong faith finds itself in the God who made everything, the God who is all powerful. The reason that's a wonderful place is because God is described here, verse 3, as someone of great mercy. Great mercy. You know, one of the common objections people have about God, especially when they're in a storm, is the accusation that God doesn't care, that God can't love them, that God can't be trusted. You know, when the disciples were in a storm in a boat with Jesus, their accusation was exactly that. It was, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown? Have you ever said that to God? God, don't you care what's happening? Does God care? Can we trust God? Well, in his book, The Brothers Karamazov, Dostoevsky addresses this issue through the words of a priest to a lady who is struggling with guilt and this question of whether God cares. And I just want to read a few of his words. He says this: be not afraid, and never be afraid, and do not be in misery. Just as long as repentance does not grow scarce within you, then God will forgive anything. And indeed, there is and can be no sin upon all the earth that the Lord will not forgive the truly repentant. Have faith that God loves you in a way of which you cannot dream. Loves you even when you're sin and in your sin. For it was said long ago, there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 10 righteous men. Go now and have no fear. If I, a sinful human being like yourself, have been moved by you and taken pity on you, how much more so God? We make a massive mistake when we think that our pity, our mercy towards others is anywhere near as big and great as God's. God's mercy, care and compassion is bigger than we could dream. God cares even for those who don't care for him. You know, on the cross, Jesus amazingly prayed for his killers, didn't he? He prayed, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." We radically underestimate the mercy of God. And Peter knows this firsthand, that though he himself was guilty of deceit, denial, and betrayal, he unexpectedly received mercy. More than that, he receives a completely fresh start. Describe verse 3 as a new birth. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. How does God give us new birth? Well, if you carry on reading, it says this: through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus' resurrection is the defining event in all of history, because for the first time ever, someone who died wasn't just resuscitated, they were resurrected. New life began, brand new life. This is why we can receive new birth, a new start. Jesus' resurrection from the dead means that sin and its consequences can no longer stick to us. It's like a shield that means there's no condemnation. You know, God doesn't keep a record of our sins, our rights and wrongs like we do with school reports and criminal records and performance evaluations. It's a brand new start. No guilt in life, we sang earlier. But we also sang, didn't we, no fear in death. You know, our society at the moment is looking around wondering, is there an anchor that can hold even through the storm of death? And the resurrection declares, yes, there is. Even death cannot separate us from the protecting love of God. The reason this is a living hope is because this hope literally brings us from death into life. It brings us through death into eternal life. It is living hope because Jesus is alive. The grave could not hold him, and it will not be able to hold those who are in him. He is our shield, and he is our very great reward. You see, Peter's problem early on in his life was not that he didn't have enough faith or confidence. He had loads of confidence. It's that he had it in the wrong place. He had it in himself. He radically overestimated his ability. But he also radically underestimated God's goodness and his mercy and his power over sin and death. We saw earlier in that drama that when Peter finally saw the risen Jesus, it changed everything. You know, faith in Jesus is an amazing thing. But it's also a deeply humbling thing because it says, I can't shield myself. I can't save myself. It's a decision to stop trusting ourselves and to start trusting God. Faith says, I'm going to use a bigger anchor. In fact, I'm going to use the biggest one there is, God himself, the one with power over sin and death. Have you done that? What are you trusting at the moment? Remember your shield. God can see you through the storm. But we're not just shielded from something. We're actually shielded for something. Remember your shield. Secondly, remember your inheritance. Peter proclaims to these struggling Christians, many of whom would have lost property and homes in their forced relocation. They were poor. They stood to inherit nothing. And yet Peter tells them they've got a spectacular inheritance to look forward to. Look, verse 4 says this, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. What is this inheritance that Peter is telling them about? I know that's one of the questions some of our youth were asking this week in their small groups. Again, this is so often misunderstood. This inheritance, notice, look, it says verse 4, it's kept in heaven, but it is not heaven. The Christian hope is not that someday we will escape this world and kind of float off to heaven to some disembodied existence sitting on clouds. No, that is not a biblical idea. That's actually an ancient Greek idea. The church has made the mistake of sometimes radically reducing what salvation is. You know, Peter says, verse 5, look, we're actually still waiting for our salvation. It's not fully revealed yet. Look, verse 5, we're waiting until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. What is going to be revealed? Well, again, Peter is deliberately using the language of the Old Testament to explain this. What inheritance were the people in the Old Testament promised? You remember? Can you remember what ours is? It's a land, isn't it? A promised land, a home, a land actually flowing with milk and honey. It's a place of security and abundance. What's happened to that promise? Well, Peter says that promise still stands. He says that promise is for you, because remember, you're God's elect, you're God's people. But the promise is bigger than Abraham and God's people ever dreamed. The promised land was just kind of a shadow, a picture of what was coming. Their view of what God was going to do was way too small. You see, God promises not just a bit of land. No, God loves the whole world, the whole cosmos, and has promised that one day, Habakkuk 2:14, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And guess what? That includes Brighton and Hove. Amen? You know, as humans, we have this deep longing for home. Often homes that are better than they currently are. I don't know if you long for a better home. You know, just take a look at the programs we love, like I love Grand Designs, you know, things like Location. There's all kind of home makeup programs. So many of these different things. We long for homes. We long for places of security and order and love. Have you ever thought, why do we have these longings? And why are they kind of never properly fulfilled? You know, could it be that the reason we have these longings is because we've actually been made for a better home? A world without death and separation and loss. Is such a world possible? Can these desires be met? And the resurrection declares, yes, they can. What we long for in our deepest kind of inmost being will happen. The resurrection assures us that death will not have the final say, that one day Jesus we'll come back and we will get brand new bodies, resurrection bodies, bodies that are like Jesus's resurrection body. His resurrection was the first of the many that is to come. And that this world will then get a total makeover, a grand redesign. It will be restored. That's what's declared in Revelation 21, the last book of the Bible. If you read it, God says there, behold, I am making everything. Absolutely everything new, and it won't perish or be spoiled again or fade away. This is a permanent makeover for you and I and this beautiful but broken world. Well, why does this matter? Well, it matters because this changes the way we live. We often are tempted to invest not in the kingdom that's coming, but in the one now that is fading. See, we're called not to build an inheritance here, but to be kind of like a sign and a foretaste of the world to come, to love people, to serve others, to be bringers of hope. This world is broken by sin, and it's no longer home in that sense. That's why we're so restless. That's why the things that we think will bring security and satisfaction don't. The things we trust, they kind of crumble. The storm reveals them as weak anchors, whereas God has promised a happy ending that's so good, so real, so wonderful that it will eclipse any and every storm we have been through. And you might think, well, why do we get all this? Why do we get God as our shield and this amazing inheritance? Well, it's all because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you and I, through his poverty, might become rich. You know, on the cross, Jesus amazingly takes our place of kind of drifting without an anchor, so that we could share his place of security and inheritance. Romans 8:17 says, now we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, and this is standing, co-heirs with Christ. We have everything that Christ has in him. It's an amazing thought. You know, do you know this Jesus? Do you know this inheritance that's coming? You know, my parents have learned that if they're going to be in a storm, there is no point just trusting the same anchor. They need a better anchor to hold them. We too need a better anchor. And in Jesus, we have it. One commentator writes this. He says, our hope is anchored in the past. Jesus rose. Our hope remains in the present. Jesus lives. Our hope is completed in the future. Jesus is coming. You know, this is why faith is so powerful, because it's all about Jesus. As the Reformers said, it's by grace alone. So we looked at last week, through faith alone. That's what we're looking at this week, in Christ alone. As that wonderful hymn says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Faith means we're trusting Jesus, not ourselves. Faith means God's power is shielding us, that we have an inheritance that can never be taken away because it's been won by Christ and his resurrection. This is the anchor that can see us through the storms. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you do care about us. You love us more than we could possibly dream. And you invite us right now to trust you in the storm. Lord, help us to take our kind of trust off those weak anchors. In fact, where we're doing that right now, where we're trusting the wrong things, I pray you would reveal that to us. Let's just take a moment to say, God, where am I trusting the wrong things? Lord, I pray you'd help us to put our trust in you, our shield, our very great reward, our living hope. We thank you that you, Jesus, are alive. And I pray you'd help us live lives that shine. Help us to use our time and our money and our resources to serve others and help them discover this living hope too. This anchor that can hold in the storm. Thank you for our resurrection hope, in the name of Jesus. Amen.